You're not rooting for Barry Bonds, I don't think, are you?
You know, there's two levels to it. As a fan, you know, then I hope he hits 86 home runs. It'd be good for the sport. As the guy who has the McGuire 70 ball, I hope he falls flat at 69.
When you bid on this ball, was there somebody close to you for the bidding, or did you just say, I'm willing to pay $3 million for this baseball?
Well, the auction took place out at Madison Square Garden, and I was one of the few sort of phone bidders, so I was an anonymous guy at that time. And we knew we had a handful of legitimate million-dollar bidders in the room, and so I figured to go maybe about 50% past that, which I was right except for minus one guy. And unfortunately, whenever you're getting into a bid, you got to get everybody out. And so there was just me and another man who was present at Madison Square Garden. And yeah, we kept sort of trying to outdo each other. And he went way past his threshold too. But he was right there in the media. You know, there was 1,000 people there in terms of attendance for fans and over 300 media people. So he became sort of the local hero, that they were going to get the story and the guy right there, and I was sort of the villain on the phone that nobody knew. And so he got swept up into it, and unfortunately it cost me more than I wanted.
If Barry Bonds hits 71 home runs, what is your Mark McGuire baseball worth?
A lot less than it is today, obviously. So, you know, again, you know, let's sort of look at the reality of it. If Barry Bonds doesn't break the record, the ball, essentially, in my mind, is like buying a new car. You know, as soon as you drive it off the lot, you know, nobody's going to give you what you just paid for it. It wasn't ever bought or purchased with that intent. And so, strictly from an investment point of view, it seems sort of silly at the beginning anyway, and then much more so if somebody breaks the record. If Barry does break the record, then what you have is a piece of history. You know, nobody's going to be able to deny the 1998 race between McGuire and Sosa, just like if somebody came up to you and said, hey, look at this, here's the Maris 61 ball. You know, you don't go, record's been broken. You go, cool. You know, it was a moment in history that we'll always remember, and the race was more of a national story than the Bonds one is right now. Maybe it sort of full-blown into something bigger. But I think it'll still be a topic of interest because so many people sort of were involved in watching it. And I see it in their eyes when I'm at some of the places where the ball travels around, that, you know, the dads or the two buddies or even the two old ladies, you know, are sitting there going, hey, look at Martha, look at that. There's the video clip. And remember, we watched that, and there's the ball. And Major League Baseball marked up the ball, so there's actually markings that you can physically see on them, numbering sequences. And it sort of tells this story through this 25-foot wall, and people sort of get absorbed into it. I don't know if that's going to go away.
Were the balls, was there an infrared mark on these balls to differentiate them?
Yeah, a couple of them were marked, but really in the simplest way, they actually, right next to the word Rawlings, they actually stamped numbers numerically on them. So that, I don't know if you remember, but remember that they would say that the bat boy's coming in and giving marked balls to the umpire, and he'd give like 3 or 4 balls to the umpire? The umpire had to physically be able to see the numbering. So, you know, he'd get balls number 4, 5, and 6, and then, you know, McGuire would foul one off, number 4, that's not it. Foul off another one, 5, that's not it. And then ground out with number 6, that's not it. Next time up, they put in 7, bam, he hits a home run. You know, the kid catches it out in center field. The security guard comes, and they go, what's the number on the ball? And the security guard doesn't know. And he goes, it looks like there's a 7 on it. And then somebody's going, yeah, that was it. That's what we tracked. Cool. And so it was actually sort of a simplistic way of doing it, but it actually sort of served the purpose.
You have a bunch of the McGuire home runs that were hit that year, balls, and a lot of the Sosa. You have Sosa's number 66. Would you consider getting Barry Bonds' number 71 if you were to hit it? Because you don't just gloat with these balls at home. You take it on the road, and you do a lot of good with it for charities and stuff.
Yeah, the again, you know, going back to the beginning of it, you know, there was a lot of people, you know, Mark McGuire, you know, being one of them, that thought that the ball should go into the Hall of Fame. I think that it was early on a bit of a knee-jerk reaction from a lot of people, because I don't think anybody really presented an option. Everybody's going, it's either going to go in the vault or it's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Well, there actually is the middle ground, which is what I'm doing, which is sort of putting it in this 25-foot wall with other memorabilia. There's video, music, write-ups, photography, and it's taken people about 4 or 5 minutes to walk through the exhibit. And instead of you going to Cooperstown, because, you know, let's be honest, Cooperstown is a point of destination. You don't pass through that town, you know, like the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, where you might be going through that city. And so, you know, we've been, for 3 years now, been traveling around to people going, you know, you're a father, you got four kids, you like baseball, you watch this on TV, you know, you live in Cleveland. Well, you know what, the exhibit's in Cleveland this weekend, so come and see it free of charge, take a picture of it next to the ball, and walk away, and it doesn't cost you nothing. You know, I've been absorbing all the costs of traveling around the country.